Welcome into Locked On Phillies. I'm your host, Connor Thomas. The Phillies drop another one to the Braves. They've lost the series. They've got a chance to steal one today in the series ender, but there are some major issues with this offense, and they've got to be fixed quickly. We'll discuss on today's Locked On Phillies.
You are Locked On Phillies, your daily Philadelphia Phillies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, this is Locked On Phillies. I'm your host, Connor Thomas. Been talking Phillies baseball for years over on 97.5 The Fanatic on the radio, NBC Sports Philadelphia on the TV side, and happy to be here with you as your host of Locked On Phillies. I want to thank you, as always, for making Locked On Phillies your first listen every single day. We're free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Now, it has been a fun couple of days to be locked in on the Phillies, if I'm being perfectly honest. The Phillies have dropped their second straight game to the Atlanta Braves, and it just hasn't been a great series for them offensively. The pitching actually hasn't been bad, but the offense has been non-existent, and it's just not enough to beat a team like the Braves. Well, we'll talk about the Braves and how hot they've been recently. We'll discuss all of that. But first, let's go through and break down everything that happened in last night's game, starting with the scoring plays. Now, the Phillies got going first. It took till the third inning, but Kyle Wright gave up a home run to Rhys Hoskins, who absolutely just demolished one off of the foul pole down the left field line. The ball was absolutely smoked. The only question was, would it stay fair? And just like our off the pole segment, fair and a home run. You like that? That's why we named it that. Well, the Phillies are up 1-0 in the third inning. But then in the top of the fourth, Atlanta does what great teams do. They answered. Contreras singles to right, scoring Matt Olson. Marcell Ozuna moved up to third base. And then Duvall grounded into a fielder's choice, but scored Marcell Ozuna. And just like that, it's 2-1 Braves. They have the lead. They would not relinquish it the rest of the way. Duvall was a pain in the Phillies side all day. Had a strong day for the Atlanta Braves, and that continued with a homer later in the game. So the Phillies were done scoring by the time Rhys Hoskins' home run had come down. I mean, I guess you still got to count his run around the bases, but outside of that one at bat, the Phillies did not score in the game. The Braves were not done scoring. Listen, it's just unfortunate that the Philadelphia Phillies offense is playing how they're playing. And in the second segment, we'll break down exactly what I think is going on with that as we get ready for the series ender. But after going up 2-1 in the top of the fourth, everyone settled in a little bit. Ranger Suarez continued to throw well, got into the seventh inning, but then Adam Duvall hit a home run to left field, a 402-foot bomb. It was absolutely smoked that chased Ranger Suarez from the game, and Jose Alvarado came in, gave up a single to Harrison, young player for the Braves, who has been having some big at-bats from them. They scored the goose, Phil Gosselin. Of course, remember Phil Gosselin from his time here in Philadelphia's short stint playing for the Phillies. Well, he scores to make it 4-1 Atlanta in the seventh. Atlanta to make it 4-1 in the seventh. And just like that, the Phillies, well, they're dead in the water, because who has clutch hits for this team? I mean, now, Bryce was clutch at points. Yeah, he had that big double coming off the bench in game two of the doubleheader in Washington. He's had big home runs in the middle of the game to like late hits and stuff like that, late runs scored. But some of the other guys that were being clutch, Matt Vierling, Bryson Stott, Jairo Munoz, guys that were not expected to be clutch were the ones that had to carry it. When was the last time you saw Nick Castellanos have a huge clutch hit? When was the last time you saw Rhys Hoskins or JT Realmuto have a huge clutch hit? I mean, for Rhys, it was back in the Miami Marlins series. For Nick Castellanos, it might have been with the Cincinnati Reds. For JT Realmuto, it might have been a year ago. Like, these guys. Actually, JT had a couple nice home runs in the series in San Diego, so that's not totally fair. But the big-name guys are just not coming through for this team right now. That's why they're losing games. Ranger Suarez was able to go 6 2/3 innings pitch, gave up 4 earned runs. You should be able to compete in those. Kyle Wright, 7 innings pitched, 1 earned run. Like, that's just the fact that Kyle Wright, and granted, Kyle Wright, nice young pitcher, but he had been struggling coming into this one, had a tough stretch of games, had a bounce back game in this one because the Phils offense couldn't take advantage. But when you get that type of start from Ranger Suarez, you should be able to compete to win the game. You shouldn't lose that game by three runs after you only give up four. But that's reality right now. Kyle Schwarber went 0 for 4. No walks. Ended his on-base streak, which is unfortunate. But he's still, like, he's batting 217, but he's slugging 504. Just unbelievable power numbers. Rhys Hoskins was 2 for 4 with a home run. He had a nice night. But Nick Castellanos, 0 for. JT Realmuto, 0 for. Mickey Moniak, 0 for. Bryson Stott, 0 for. Had two walks on the day. Alec Bowman, Didi Gregorius with a hit apiece. But, man, these big-name guys are too good to continue to go 0 for every single day and not hit for power and not hit for gap hits and things like that. Nick Castellanos was sold as a doubles machine that had a great home run last year that batted over 300 and is going to come in here and be a top hitter. He's batting 245, slugging 376. It's unacceptable. Didi Gregorius doesn't have a home run yet this year, and he's slugging 368 within 10 points of where Nick Castellanos currently is. JT Realmuto is slugging 358. He's below Didi Gregorius, who doesn't have a home run. He's only batting 235 on the year. Defensively, yeah, sure, he's a good defensive catcher, but it's just it's not enough for the Philadelphia Phillies, what they're getting from their big-name guys right now. And the starting pitching is still consistent. I don't think the starting pitching has really dropped off at all, but it shouldn't have, right? Bryce Harper doesn't affect our starting pitching. He might give them a little bit more run support here and there early in the game to make them a little bit mentally more relaxed, but this lineup is going to make or break the Philadelphia Phillies. And I know that's every single team, but now they got to step it up with Bryce Harper out. And in the first two games without him, well, the first two games outside of that series, because they did win Sunday in San Diego in that getaway game. But the first two games back here without him against the Braves, they don't look like they're treading water. They look like they're drowning. And I don't know about you guys. I don't like drowning. I don't think the Phillies like drowning. I don't think you listening to this right now like drowning. Bad way to go. Bad way to end the season. We've watched them drown for season after season after season, and they're falling right back into the same lake, I guess it would be. Falling just right back into the same trap, though. No, there's only one thing you can do. You got to go out today, 6:05 game, Atlanta Braves, series ender, try and take one, try and mitigate the loss, and then find a way to win a couple series later in this week after the holiday, all of that good stuff. That's all you can do because you can't change what's in the past. You just wish that they put out a better effort in games one and two. But, hey, maybe they'll bounce back. Yeah, Nola on the mound coming up. We'll talk about all of it and what I think they need to do in the series ender in order to compete and give themselves a chance to win the getaway game. All of that coming up on today's on next segment of today's Locked On Phillies. All right, let me tell you about LinkedIn. The sun's coming out. Small businesses are back in business. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easier to grow your team. LinkedIn Jobs, huh, well, they do a great job when you're trying to get your business going again. COVID killed the workforce a little bit. We got to hire people back. And the best way to do that, well, LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the people you want to interview faster. And it's free. You can create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn, reach a network of over 810 million people. You know, add the purple hashtag hiring frame to your profile so people immediately know you're hiring. And there's simple tools like screening questions that make it easier than ever to find the right people who want to apply for your job and hire the right person at the end. It's why small business rates LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. So if you want to help, or if you want help rather, finding the candidates you want to talk to faster, nearly 40 million people that are job seekers visit LinkedIn. So visit, and that's every week. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. That's linkedin.com/lockedonMLB to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. All right, a short middle segment for today's show. We're just going to quickly preview Braves versus Phillies game three. We already well know what the Braves are bringing at the plate. Adam Duvall, the killer in game two. Matt Olson, the killer in game one. And we still see Austin Riley down there leading the team with home runs. Dansby Swanson leading the team in average for the Braves. Plenty to be worried about with that lineup. Arcia, all of these guys, Marcelo Zuna, all dangerous. It's why they won the World Series last year. You get a nice pitching matchup here, though. Ian Anderson faces off against Aaron Nola. Let's run through the numbers real quick. ESPN's analytics saying that the Phillies have a 58.8% chance to win today's game. But they've been favored in every other game in this series, the other two, and hasn't really worked out. So, hey, maybe they're due. Let's run through the ERA first. Ian Anderson has a 4.6 ERA so far. Aaron Nola, a 2.98. He's sub-3 advantage Nola. And for their whip, the walks and hits and the innings pitch, Ian Anderson, a 1.45. Aaron Nola, 0.9. Sub-1, less than one runner an inning, advantage Aaron Nola. Ian Anderson has 74 and a third innings pitched. Nola has 96 and two-thirds already, showing he's going deeper into games. Advantage Nola. Hits given up. In 22 and a third more innings, Aaron Nola's only given up two more hits. He's given up 74. Anderson, 72. Advantage Nola. Okay, he's got 44 more strikeouts. He's given up 23 less walks. All of this looks good. And then you get to home runs. Ian Anderson has only given up 9. Aaron Nola has given up 10. That's because when Nola was shaky at the start of the year, well, he was losing a lot of balls in the seats, meaning the other team was hitting them out of the yard. Nola's going to have to keep those home run numbers down today. That's the only way that I see Ian Anderson potentially outdueling him is if guys like Austin Riley, guys like Marcell Ozuna, guys like Adam Duvall, who we talked about, or Matt Olson, who we talked about, who had multi-home run game in game one. If those guys leave the yard against Aaron Nola, Phillies are in trouble. If Aaron Nola keeps the ball generally down and soft contact, well, obviously that means the Phillies are fine, but that should be the goal. Work the ball down. Don't let them leave the yard. Trust your stuff and know that you're going to get these guys out. Big strikeout day, I think, for Nola. It's just a great opportunity for the Phillies to take an ender. Now, they've had a great opportunity in every single one of these games, so you just hope that they can finally capitalize on one, but that's what you're looking at. I've been keeping an eye on the batting leaders to see. Obviously, now Bryce Harper's average is stagnant considering he's not playing at 318. No one's catching him in that until he falls out of qualification. I don't know how long that'll be. You have to have like 3 at-bats per team game played to qualify. I don't know what that is. But in the other two, well, Kyle Schwarber is overtaking the lead in home runs for the Philadelphia Phillies. He's got 22. We'll see if he can go yard again tonight. Still June. The last game of June is the 30th, so it's last chance for June Kyle Schwarber to still hang out with us. And then Bryce Harper still leading with 48 RBIs. It's 5 higher than Dansby Swanson, who leads the Braves. So we'll see how long until someone catches Harper there. I'd imagine it'll be Schwarber, who has 47 RBIs right now. But we'll keep an eye out. That's just what we're looking at for Braves-Phillies game 3. And if the Phillies can steal the getaway game, well, that would be mighty helpful to salvage something from this series. Now, up next, we're going to wrap up with a fun segment. I told you I was going undercover. Well, I talked to a lot of guys in the Braves locker room, heard some interviews, heard some side conversations. I'm going to share some covert information. Okay, not anything that was off the record. It's all stuff that was played post-game down in Atlanta, but things that I recorded for them that you may not get a chance to hear up here as a Philadelphia Phillies fan. I'll take you behind the curtain there, talk to you a little bit about what's going on in the Braves clubhouse and kind of knowing your enemy when it comes to the NL East. All that as we wrap up on today's Locked On Phillies. All right, I want to welcome you to a world. Well, a world you may have already been in. It's the world of sports cards. But this time, it's reimagined thanks to our friends over at the Sports Card Investor app. It's the hobby's most powerful resource because you can quickly check the value of your favorite cards. You can find great deals to buy new cards. And you can profit from the hobby you love. It's available completely free in the Google Play and Apple App Stores. It's a must-have for baseball fans. Think about it. Think back to that time you were a little kid and all you wanted to do was open up that shiny pack of cards, rip it open. You probably had the binder like I did with the little clear sheets that you could slot them in, you could hang on to them, and all you wanted to do was keep them, right? Well, maybe that's still what you want to do. There's over 630,000 cards from every sport. You could collect so many through Sports Card Investor app, but what you can also do is you can check the latest values of your favorite cards with 7-day or 30-day charts. And hey, maybe you have a card, it's like a player you don't really like. Like, I don't really care about Aaron Judge. He's having an incredible year up there for the New York Yankees, though. If I had an Aaron Judge card from like 3 months ago, and I looked at it and they're like, well, the value of your card skyrocketed, I might be like, cool, I'll sell it. Someone else who values that more can have it, and I can make some money off of that. It's a great use for the app, or maybe I just hang on to it because I like the card and I like to look at it. You could be a casual card collector, or you could be looking for an exciting alternative investment opportunity. Either way, the free Sports Card Investor app has something for you. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to download the Sports Card Investor app today. It's available for free in the Google Play and Apple App Stores, or you can go to sportscardinvestor.com/lockedon. I also want to tell you about BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all of your betting needs and sports info. You can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL playoffs and Major League Baseball. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all of your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. Bet online, it's where the game starts. All right, so let me take you through again exactly what I'm doing to help out a station down in Atlanta, radio station 680, The Fan, down there in the Atlanta area. Well, they needed some help grabbing some post-game sound from the Braves locker room. So every night so far, the first two games of the series, what I've done, as soon as the game's over, I get up out of the press box, walk down to the bowels of Citizens Bank Park, and head to the visitors' locker room to hear Brian Snitker talk about the game and the team's performance, and then to hear the starting pitcher and a big position player that had a solid game. Obviously, in game one, that big position player was Matt Olson. Now, there's a common theme that I want to share from game one. I heard Brian Snitker asked and talked about. I heard Charlie Morton, who started game one, asked and talked about. Morton, more of a soft-spoken, quieter guy. And I heard Matt Olson talk about it. He took some time. He was, like, eating down there, so it took us a little bit to get his availability. But Visitors Clubhouse, beautiful, by the way. Very, very nice facilities down there at Citizens Bank Park. Kudos to them and how they treat the visiting teams. But something that's important, I think, for Phillies fans to remember, the Braves – and this was a question that was more asked after game two, but they asked it after game one too. Game one was their 20th win of the month of June. Unbelievable. It was one away from the franchise record, which they would go on to tie the next night. And a lot of the questions centered around that. How does it feel to be a team that's 120? How does it feel to be a team that's got a chance to tie the franchise record tomorrow night? How does it feel to know that you're probably the hottest team in baseball right now? And all of the answers were, well, we knew we were this good. Like, we knew that the team had this talent level, and Snitker said as much. Like, we thought we were this good the whole time. Just playing like it is good. It's a confirmation of what we were thinking. Matt Olson echoed that. Charlie Morton echoed that. And it's important for Phillies fans to remember this. This is a team that's coming off a World Series win that's incredibly hot right now. As hot as any team in baseball. They just tied their franchise record for most wins in a month. It's either in a month or in a month of June. I don't know. You got to check in with Locked On Braves for to be totally sure on that one. But they're just such a talented, hot team right now. Maybe we're over-exaggerating what we're seeing from the Philadelphia Phillies because they're playing a team that just doesn't lose to anybody. Certainly possible, and it's something that I gathered being down there in the locker room. I was like, okay, well, this team is just really, really good. Like, the Phillies might not be bad. They might just be running up against an opponent who – could end up being the best team in the NL East when everything's all said and done. That's the other vibe I got from them. They were asked a little bit about chasing down the Mets, and they wouldn't comment directly on that because it's early in the season, but they feel like they can play with anybody, talking about the Atlanta Braves. Right now, the Phillies, they seem like they don't feel like they can play with anybody. They feel the opposite way. So it's just not a good combination between the two. And can the Phillies get better? Yes. But are they also going to play teams that have less swagger and momentum than the Braves? Yeah, I mean, I hope so. Otherwise, they're going to have a long stretch. No, I know they will because they have the fourth easiest schedule in baseball still the rest of the way. Now, game two, got to hear from Adam Duvall, got to hear from Kyle Wright, who Kyle, a younger pitcher, talking about the struggles that he's had recently and working his way in. It happens to all young pitchers, and I got to imagine what Kyle Wright is going through is similar to what Ranger Suarez is going through. Wright had opportunities last year, even through some innings in the World Series. And then this year, he's actually getting a chance to start for the major league team throughout the season. Ranger Suarez had a longer stint in the major leagues than Kyle Wright last year, but he's got a true moniker now as a starter and one of the better starters on this team. That pressure, it weighed on Kyle Wright. it weighs on Ranger Suarez, I'm sure, if you asked him, that he would, maybe if he doesn't admit it, I'm sure it's happening to him right now, though. And these guys bounce back, but it's about mental fortitude. Kyle Wright talked about that. Just he felt he was throwing his pitches well in games he was losing, and it was just bad result, but continue the good, and good will eventually come. That was the message that Kyle Wright was sharing based on his past struggles over the just like past 2-3 weeks. Paid off for them, so maybe it'll pay off for Ranger Suarez, who had to unfortunately take the loss in last night's game. We'll see on that. And then Adam Duvall, one of the things he brought up, and one of the things I noticed while I was down there, the locker room culture is just, it's very good for the Atlanta Braves. It feels like a winning locker room, and they've won a lot. They've won 21 games this month now. They tied a franchise record. Everyone was kind of put that on the back burners because it's not that important to them. They want another ring, but it is an impressive feat for the Atlanta Braves. The Phil's locker room didn't feel like that the past couple times I was down there. It feels quiet and not like the morgue that Joe Girardi had it as, but the Bryce Harper injury has cast a pall over this locker room. They've got to shake it off, and they got to find a way to come out and start winning ball games. Or, man, there really is going to be a funeral, and it'll be for the Philly season. So just some interesting nuggets out of my time in the Atlanta Braves locker room. I'll be back in there tonight. I may have a little bit more for you on tomorrow's episode, but we're going to have a fun episode where we do something close to a mid-season report card. Stock ups, stock downs. That's going to be the next episode of Locked On Phillies, and we'll go through all the position players. We'll go through all the pitchers and be able to talk about it. Stock up, stock down, based on where you thought they were at the start of the year, and I'll tell you my thoughts. That will be next episode, but that's all for this episode. I want to thank you, as always, for making Locked On Phillies your first listen every day. Now make your second listen Locked On MLB Prospects. Lindsey Crosby does a great job highlighting what prospects are up and coming, which ones might need some work before you see them on your favorite major league team, and who even your teams could draft. The MLB draft coming up here in just a little bit. Lindsey Crosby has the latest, so go check out Locked On MLB Prospects. It's available wherever you get your podcasts. And thank you for rating, reviewing, subscribing, following on Twitter, all the stuff you do to make Locked On Phillies float and help me put together the best show possible. I really do appreciate it. That being said, though, the best show possible is finishing up, and I will talk to you all about stock up, stock down tomorrow.